Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. A reminder that you can participate in our POPs project by next Wednesday. What are POPs projects? Well, remember, a POP, it's publicly owned, privately owned public space. POPs, privately owned public space, like Zuccotti Park, which is what got us talking about it. You might remember that we launched a project about this a couple of weeks ago, and we invited you, our listeners, to check out any privately owned public space around the city and tell us how public you think it really is in terms of its real access. There are about 400 of these. It's not just Zuccotti Park, and you've already visited and reported on about 100 of them. You can see the results on our website. So we provide the map. You provide the intel. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you'll see a link to this POPs report project. Go visit one in your neighborhood on your lunch break or over the weekend. Fill out the simple form on our site, and we'll go over what we found next week. WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and you'll see a link to the privately owned public spaces map. Then pick one, check it out, report back to us on our site, and we'll do a show on it next week. Thanks for taking part. Now, today is a banner day for word lovers. There's a new edition of the dictionary out today, the fifth edition of the American Heritage Dictionary, which includes 10,000 new words or definitions, so many opportunities to learn or to quibble with their choices. Steve Klein Edler, executive editor of the American Heritage Dictionary, joins us now to talk about some of the new words and about being an arbiter for what's accepted English usage. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me on, Brian. It's a great privilege to be here.
When did the last edition come out? 2001?
2000.
So you put out a new dictionary every 10 years, basically?
Roughly, yes.
And what about those 10,000 new words? That sounds like a lot.
It is. 10,000 new words and senses. That includes new definitions for existing words as well, roughly 5,000 of each. Over the past 10 years, we have been adding these into the database and more rapidly in the past 3 or 4 years as we approach publication from all areas imaginable, whether it's the sciences. We did a extreme overhaul of a lot of the chemistry and zoology and botany terms, an overhaul of all the legal terms with consultants in those areas. And we also have words that are more pop culture in nature, everything from food to elements.
So, listeners, two questions for you.
All right.
What words, listeners, that can be said on the radio, have you started hearing in the last 10 years? And do you still use print dictionaries, or have you entirely switched to the web? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For our guest, the executive editor of the American Heritage Dictionary, Steve Klein Edler, 212-433-9692. And it looks from your promotional material that there are different routes that a word can take to get into the dictionary. Some are long-established words in other languages that are making their way into English. Words like, am I saying this right, panko?
Yes.
Japanese breadcrumbs. And bulgogi, Korean barbecue.
Right, or ciabatta, the crusty, loafy bread from Italian, which even now is being marketed by fast food chains with their sub sandwiches. So something formerly completely Italian is now kind of embedded itself.
There are new words because of new technology like crowdsourcing and vlog, which is a video blog, vlog. And then there are words from slang and pop culture like baby daddy and vacay, short for vacation, and filk, which I guess are song parodies based on sci-fi coined by a typo.
Right. And with these pop culture terms, obviously you could have, and there are, books of slang. When it comes to, you know, with certain words like chemical elements, when the scientific community says this is what element 112 is, you know, it's Röntgenium or Copernicium or Darmstadtium or whatever, they say that that's what it is, and that's what it is, and you put it in. With some of the more slangy terms, for a dictionary such as this, once it gets kind of mass media saturation when news outlets and major newspapers are using the term baby daddy, which is actually a very old word, it's time to enter.
David in Princeton, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing? First of all, I'd just like to say that I really love the American Heritage Dictionary. I'm actually still carrying around my paper back edition that's beat up and falling apart at this point. But I called to say that word that you said in the beginning, spaghettification, I really love that. I mean, that has to do with black holes, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Garth in West Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, how's it going? There are two words, one which has bothered me for the last bunch of years that businesses use, which is functionality, which I think was never a word before. And the other is the fact, and maybe I'm just wrong about the definition, but people using impact as a verb, like we were impacted by something.
Right. And those are usage questions. Are those new? Are either of those new?
No, people have been complaining about impact as a verb for a long, long time. I believe we have a usage note on it. I am thumbing through the print dictionary. Yes, we have a very long usage note on impact. The impact as a verb was used before it was used as a noun. The verb goes all the way back to the 1600s. I think a lot of people object to the business coinage that developed in the last several decades. Businesses have a way of making nouns into verbs. So I think sometimes what people are objecting to is the bureaucratic sounding or the corporatese that is creeping in, but it's impact has long been a verb.
Those usage notes that you were just referring to, are they in both the print edition and the digital edition?
They are in the print edition. They are in the apps. We have an app for the Apple and the Android, which will be available in just a couple more days. On the website of the dictionary, ahdictionary.com, that's just the definitions. The website does not include the notes or the etymologies, but the electronic apps will, and we encourage people to check out their favorite platform in a couple days and download those.
How else does creating an online dictionary or an app-based dictionary differ from creating a print edition?
Well, in terms of creating the content, it's not terribly different. We, of course, can include more stuff electronically if we so choose, and there will be more of that in the future. And you can also make updates more quickly mm-hmm. than you can in the print edition, which is limited to the times of the printing. The content is generally the same. Obviously, the process by which you've got a paper production process that's completely different from the coding.
But
editorially,
it hasn't changed all that much. Ben in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ben.
Two words. One of them is an abbreviation I see online a lot, and people started saying it recently, TLDR, which is too long, didn't read, and it's kind of used in the kind of snarky manner. The second word is mouthfeel, which with kind of cooking and everything becoming super popular, you hear more and more these days. I don't think you heard 10 years ago.
Taste and texture, people say mouthfeel.
Mouthfeel is one of the 10,000 new things that we've added. We define it as the way that a food or drink feels in the mouth, being primarily a response to texture, but also to flavor.
Yeah.
Right. And TLDR, too long, didn't read, is that a critique of somebody who writes emails that are too long?
Yeah, people use it kind of that way. Or maybe they'll read something really long, send you a link to it, be like, check this out, TLDR, with like a really brief summary of what they're actually sending.
Yes. Thank you. And did you include a lot of these acronyms, or if acronyms is even the right word, or, you know, the LOL,
yes.
All of that stuff?
Acronyms, abbreviations, initialisms. We do have a fair number of abbreviations. That said, it's not an abbreviation dictionary, and a lot of those things are very ephemeral. So I believe we have the extremely common ones like LOL, not as many as one could.
I joked about people quibbling over your choices. Does it happen a lot?
People have comments regardless, one way or the other. You can put one thing in and you'll have people going, why is that there? You know, why did you enter F-bomb? Or people complaining that other stuff isn't there. So you really, there's something for everyone to quibble about.
Is F-bomb an example of something that you sat around with other editors and asked, We know this is a usage in use out there, but does it belong in a dictionary?
Well, the issue of whether or not it belongs, I mean, this one was actually a very easy question to answer because its use is so ubiquitous.
That one refers to the F word that we can't say on the radio.
Exactly. And we actually have a sense at word that refers to saying the R word or the F word or the S word or any of the other words. The word itself has a definition describing that kind of process. With F-bomb, it's used so commonly on television. You see it in print. That one's pretty unambiguously in belonging.
I read on Wikipedia that the American Heritage Dictionary was started by a man so upset over new words that were included in Webster's third edition in 1961 that he published his own. So in other words, the legacy was the American Heritage is a place where words are not going to get in that easily.
Well, actually, that was the initial intent in the early 60s. But as lexicographers were working on the project, they realized that that wasn't feasible. And the 1969 edition included ain't and irregardless and all these other non-standard. I mean, they're marked as non-standard, but they are in the dictionary. So even though that was the original intent, it did not prove tenable.
Scott in Brooklyn, you have a word?
Yes, the word is survival, a combination of survival and thriving under adversity.
And you hear that out there?
Oh, no. I thought I coined it, and then I looked. Did a Google search, and I saw that it was already in use in several places.
Survival.
Almost any cutesy thing that you can come up with, if you Google, you'll find that someone has beaten you to it. In this day in blogging, there are a lot of creative people out there, and I can guarantee you if you come up with a coinage that is a combination of two words, someone has gotten it.
Elise in Port Washington, we have 15 seconds for you. Hi.
I'm calling because, and I'm actually listening online, but that the F-bomb is in there. Maybe I can get my 12-year-old to actually open up the dictionary and see that because she rolls her eyes every time I bring it up.
Why do you care if she uses a print edition or an online edition as long as she's using a dictionary?
Good question.
Should
because I'm a concrete person and I still think that picking up a book and holding it and touching it and turning the pages is a worthwhile thing to do.
Should she care?
I mean, I grew up using print dictionaries and I grew up in a house of educators, but there is something to be said about going through the print. And when you're looking for something, your eye inevitably falls on something else. This is a beautifully illustrated, full color book. And inevitably, you are going to come across a word history note or a usage note or something that draws you in.
The brand new edition of the American Heritage Dictionary, first in 10 years in hardback. Steve Klein Edler, executive editor, has been our guest. 10,000 new words in. Real quick, any words out?
A very small number, less than you'd imagine.
You have one?
Cassette memory. It was a compound that's obsolescent. We still have cassette. We still have memory.
So the dictionary just keeps getting bigger because words come in,
but they
don't much go out.
We use design to cram more in, and there's a little less front matter.
Thank you for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. I'm glad to have been here.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.